This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you all? Are you all well?
Yes.
Great, that'll do. Thank you so much for coming. It's lovely to have you here, and thank you for being this very special event presented by the partnership of Midsummer and the City of Melbourne, LGBTIQ plus issues in St. Petersburg and around the world. Big thanks to the Melbourne Town Hall for having us here, and please give them a round of applause if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great. We appreciate it. It's a beautiful room. I was actually in this room for the entirety of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Well, you guys know I was here for the Comedy Festival. You all bought tickets. Tough crowd. Okay, my name is Tom Ballard. I'm going to be your host for this evening. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the lands upon which we meet tonight, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. I acknowledge their elders past and present. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I'd also like to extend my respects to the Rainbow Elders, who over the years have given their blood, sweat, tears, livelihoods, and in some cases, lives, so that people like me and you can be out and proud and come along to events like we are tonight. We thank you, we recognise your fabulousness, and we won't forget you. I'd just like to say, FYI, at the top of the conversation too, throughout tonight, I'll be referring to the LGBTIQ plus community as queer. It's just for conversational ease, a catch-all term. I understand the importance of all those letters and the importance of what that plus represents. So, you've all chosen to come here on a Wednesday night in Melbourne, and again, I thank you very much for that. You didn't have to be here, of course. You could be anywhere. You could be in Circuit, in Fitzroy, enjoying their hump day pool night, which features the tagline, balls, get it, balls. You could be the Laird at Dean Arcuri's Trivial Hirsute. You could jump on a flight to Perth and go to Connections Nightclub and enjoy their lesbian mud wrestling Wednesdays. Wednesdays. I don't know what they do on Saturdays. I don't think they could handle it. I'd never want to be there. Or, of course, you could just be at home in your openly gay-friendly share house on Grindr or Liquor, using your real name and photo without fear of violent reprisals. Or you could be attending a meeting with your transgender social group. Or you could be listening to Joy or just going to the movies or theatre, holding hands with your same-sex partner without anyone batting an eyelid. Things aren't perfect for our community here in Australia by any stretch of the imagination. There are still plenty of battles to be fought. Legal discrimination, a homelessness crisis, poor health services, abysmal sex education. But I think in many ways we can really thank our lucky stars when we consider the situation for queer people in Melbourne's Russian sister city, St. Petersburg. Now, homosexuality was decriminalised in Russia in 1993, which technically means they beat Tasmania to that particular goalpost. But things aren't looking good. The Russian law, for the purpose of protecting children from information advocating for a denial of traditional family values, the gay propaganda law, was passed in 2012, but truly came to global attention during the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics. A hunting season has been declared on our queer comrades in Russia. Organisations like Occupy Pedophilia and Parents of Russia equate all homosexuality with perversion and child rape and lure sexually diverse men and women into violent and often lethal traps. Some are forced to drink their own urine to try and cure their homosexuality. David Smith, a black South African man, was tricked by Occupy Pedophilia and subsequently filmed being forced to eat a watermelon at gunpoint. Trans people are slandered as freaks and scum. Lesbians are victims of corrective rapes. This is nothing less than vicious persecution and torture that is ostensibly state-sanctioned. Pride marches are banned, police are allowed to arrest tourists and foreigners whom they suspect to be gay or lesbian, same-sex parents risk losing custody of their own children. And it's not just being restricted to Russia. This poisonous conception of sexual and gender diversity is spread to neighbouring countries too, like Kyrgyzstan, which followed Russia's example with its own gay propaganda law and has since seen a near 300% increase in reported attacks on queer people. Kyrgyzstan, by the way, one of the countries that our government genuinely considered sending refugees to from Nauru and Manasar, resettling them there, even if those were refugees that were running, being persecuted because of their sexual or gender diversity. Many brave activists stay and fight in Russia, but many flee to safety. Immigration Equality reported that their caseloads have jumped from 50 to 60 requests for assistance from Russian queer people, in 2012 to 180 just 2 years later. So getting people out of harm's way, that's good news, but what about those without the means to leave? What about those who choose to remain? What can we, as conscious and compassionate queer people or allies of queer people here in Australia, do to help them and bring about change? And are there certain things that we privileged Westerners might be tempted to do that could actually hinder the situation rather than help? That's what we're talking about tonight. We have four extraordinary minds on a panel to talk us through the situation in Russia and also consider the situation for queer people across the world and what those lessons can teach us about queer activism here in Australia and abroad. It's not going to be a debate. This is a conversation. And thank you for being here and joining the conversation. I think it's going to be a conversation that's going to get us all fired up and thinking. We also have some time at the end for you lovely people to ask some questions as well. So throughout tonight's discussion, please be considering that. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions towards the end. And we'll be finishing with a little bit of Russian queer cinema. I'm going to introduce our panel members in a moment. But first, we have two quick speakers from Midsummer and the City of Melbourne. First of all, from the board of Midsummer, would you please give a very warm welcome to Jamar Hakim.
Thanks, Tom, and welcome everyone. Keep this quite brief, but we're very excited at Midsummer to be presenting this event with City of Melbourne. As we head into our 30th festival, we continue to explore and look for new and exciting ways to engage through art to inspire inclusion, just a little bit more colourfully. Thank you very much for that introduction. So I don't think I really need to say much about the event. We're just looking forward to hearing it. But I'd like to really thank everybody today for coming along, City of Melbourne for making it possible, and Melbourne Queer Film Festival for the show you'll see at the end as well with the cinematography, and our Tom for hosting the event, and our panelists as well, Anna, Dennis, Sally, and Noor. So thank you very much all, and look forward to hearing the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamal. From the City of Melbourne, now the Council, we have a Council representative who's going to speak to us about, well, our sister city relationship with St. Petersburg, in particular why he, in the face of quite a large opposition, defended that relationship and continues to support it. He's been a City of Melbourne councillor for the Greens since 2012 and is the chair of the Arts and Culture Portfolio, as well as a deputy chair of the Finance and Governance Portfolio. Would you please give a very warm welcome to Rowan Levin.
Thanks so much, Tom, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to Melbourne Town Hall. It's great to see so many of you here, and welcome to tonight's panel event. Before we begin, can I just also add my acknowledgement that we are gathered here tonight on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation and pay my respects to elders both past and present. Can I also thank particularly the panelists who have taken time out of their weeks to be here tonight. Thank you so much for being here. Tom will introduce you all individually in a minute, so I won't do that again now. I just want to say a few words to put tonight into some context. This event has been put together because the City of Melbourne resolved in 2014 to refocus its sister city relationship with St. Petersburg on LGBTIQ issues, given the horrific violence being waged on LGBTIQ Russian citizens, with the St. Petersburg government and the Duma nationally passing laws which sanction vilification and which tacitly support violence. At that time, and still from many quarters, Council was under strong pressure from many in the community to suspend our sister city relationship as a way of protesting against the atrocities in St. Petersburg. And we very nearly did. But the motion I ultimately moved to Council, which was unanimously supported by my colleagues, kept the sister city relationship while condemning the violence waged against our queer sisters and brothers, and it resolved to use the sister city relationship to shine a light on these atrocities. Those who led the petition calling on a suspension of the relationship don't agree with this. However, I actually did have conversations with LGBTIQ activists in St. Petersburg, and the message I got back was clear. Why suspend the relationship when we have existing opportunities for dialogue between our two cities which can be used to raise awareness and to advocate? Why isolate LGBTIQ activists within Russia further when they have so little support as it is? Why not instead use the relationship to raise these concerns, government to government, and to shine a light on the ongoing fight of LGBTIQ Russians? There are also plenty of cultural exchange opportunities between Melbourne and St. Petersburg that would have dried up overnight had the relationship been severed. During the period we were deciding what to do about the petition to suspend the sister city relationship, I saw the most beautiful letter from the students and teachers of School 606 in St. Petersburg describing the experiences of the students on a school exchange to Melbourne a couple of years ago. It discussed the differences between Russian and Australian ways of life, going into remarkable detail about what students learned about Australian society and schooling and self-expression. Another group of students visiting from St. Petersburg a couple of years before that again, visited Melbourne via Sydney and witnessed the Sydney Mardi Gras parade. I didn't want to be responsible for putting an end to those exchanges and shutting down opportunities for the next generation of adult St. Petersburg citizens to experience a different social ethic. I don't believe in isolationism or cutting St. Petersburg off in order for us to feel somehow cleaner by not associating ourselves with such a regime. I find that thinking quite insular. Many disagree. The government of St. Petersburg might well deserve to be ostracised, but the citizens of St. Petersburg do not. And are we really the arbiter on human rights? Tom's mentioned this already, but there are a few issues which I still feel ashamed to be Australian about. Gay propaganda laws were trialled in Western Australia in the early 2000s, and our current record on LGBTIQ asylum seekers or incarceration rates of Aboriginal Australians, to name just two issues, I find quite shameful as an Australian. There is no international apartheid-style or scaled campaign against Russia that we would be joining through a symbolic severance of the sister city relationship. Should there be? Well, maybe there should. It all depends on your theory of change. In the meantime, Milan and Venice have suspended their sister city relationships and St. Petersburg barely noticed. Those cities now have no policy basis upon which to consistently and formally raise issues of human rights abuses in St. Petersburg, but we do, and tonight is just one small part of that. So thank you for your indulgence while I've shared my own biases as my own reflections on this affair. It sets out the context a little, though, and I wanted to acknowledge that events like this one here, because the city of Melbourne does have a strong determination to use its resources to raise these issues publicly, loudly, and effectively. It is still so very difficult, of course. The trend in St. Petersburg is that the violence is getting worse, not better. What can we do here on the other side of the world to affect change, not just in St. Petersburg and Russia, but all around the world? It's an incredibly important question, and it's a fascinating one too, and it's just one of many that will be teased out tonight, I'm sure, with our fabulous panel of guests. So I thank you all for coming and for being part of this important conversation. A huge thank you to Midsummer for hosting the event and embracing this role, and thank you to our wonderful panellists. Have a good evening, and I'll hand you straight back to our host, Tom Ballard. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor, very much indeed. That's a really interesting context, I think, for the discussion. Theory of change, what's the best way of going about doing this, and how can we help? Can we get Putin to Mardi Gras? I feel like that would be good. He's shirtless a lot of the time.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.